it from my special reach. Could have been an easy one, could it? Nope, had to be one of the people from the Bible that we know very, very little about. Or, so I thought. Jesus is the main character. Joseph appears to be a side character, a sidekick, if you like, to the real hero, Jesus and Mary. Well, Mary, she's the one who had the baby, after all, who would have suffered ridicule for having a baby outside of marriage. Joseph is just the other Joseph, which I actually found myself saying quite a lot when people asked me, what are you preaching about? Joseph. Oh, that's a good one. No, the other Joseph. He's not the famous Joseph, but I'm here to prove that Joseph was just as chosen as Mary, just like you. So what do we actually know about Joseph? If we turn to we've got all of these lovely points. I'm going to prove these points. It had to be Joseph because of his family lineage. It had to be Joseph because he was the faithful, the obedient, the loving husband and father. He was just as chosen as Mary, and so are you. Turning to Matthew 1, we see a whole list of men. This is because family lineage was carried down from father to son. This is not the whole list of Joseph's ancestors, but it's the main important characters. Right at the bottom, we find the name Joseph, but in the middle, we find the name David. Why is this important? Well, if we turn back to the Old Testament, we can see why this is important. Isaiah 7, the prophet Isaiah was warning a man named Ahaz that he should trust in God again and again and again. Rather than an alliance he plans to make with the king of Assyria. But that's a whole other thing. The verses 13 and 14 give a promise, a sign that Ahaz should trust in God. Then Isaiah said, "Hear now, you house of David. Is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you try the patience of God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel." He says, house of David. We are told, literally, Emmanuel, God with us, will be a descendant of David. And what do we know about Joseph? Well, he was a descendant of David. It was part of the promise. The promise was, from David will come Emmanuel. And Joseph was literally part of that lineage. This teaches us that God keeps his promises. The promise he makes, he will keep. He promised that a descendant of David would be the Messiah. And right there in Matthew 1, we see this promise fulfilled. And Joseph was a very specific choice. He's a descendant of David, and his family lineage is passed from father to son. Mary couldn't have been a descendant of David in terms of ancient traditions. It had to be the father. It had to be Joseph. Now, Joseph has another very specific purpose in this amazing story. You all heard it every year, readings from Luke. I'm even in the process of helping my year group prepare this exact story. Carols and all the Luke 3 and the travelling to Bethlehem. Again, important, had to be Bethlehem if you go back to Isaiah again. But we find out about the different qualities that Joseph had. I love the title of this book that I found in the NIV. Joseph accepts Jesus as his son. Very important. And it says he's faithful to the law. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. He found out that the woman he was betrothed to was already pregnant by, she claimed, the Holy Spirit. How many of us would actually believe that? You can see the face you pull the okay then noises that you'd make. And I actually looked up what kind of situation Mary would have been in, you know, good old Google. So in ancient Jewish culture, betrothal was far more serious than a modern engagement. It was almost a marriage. It was a legally binding contract, considered the first stage of marriage. And the only thing that was left was for the groom to bring the bride home for the wedding and consummation. And they were expected to be abstinent, and infidelity was considered adultery, a capital offence punishable by death, often stoning. When Mary was found out to be with child, the community would have assumed the child was not Joseph, which would bring shame not only to Mary, but on her family. She would have faced public scorn, rejection, and legal danger, as well as a lifetime of stigma. If Joseph had gone through with the divorce, Mary would have remained a single mother for the rest of her life, and she would have struggled. It's not like being a single mother today, where you've got tons of support and everyone's there for you. Back then, she would have been an outcast. She would have been starving. She would have been struggling on the streets for her son. And Joseph, being a righteous man and wanting to divorce her quietly, would have suggested that there was a real punishment, and he didn't want her to go through with that. He was a loving husband, even though he didn't have to be. He was faithful to the law, which said, by every right, he could divorce her and publicly scorn her. He chose not to. Even before, we assume, praying. We don't know that he didn't pray, but it doesn't tell us that he did. And we know that he chose, before God told him not to, that he wasn't going to publicly scorn her. He was probably going to put her away nice and quietly, give her a house, give her somewhere to live, so that she could raise a baby and be safe. Not every man would have done that. It had to have been Joseph. God knew that this was a choice Joseph would have made on his own. He was chosen by God for this purpose. Now, God actually speaks to Joseph on 3, possibly 4 different occasions. He comes to Joseph in dreams and tells him what to do. You got Matthew 1:20-22, which is the original, do not leave Mary, it's okay. Matthew 2:13-14, this is when God warns Joseph that Herod is going to kill them, so go to Egypt. And then Matthew 2:19-23, this is the possible 4th dream as well, where it says they were going back to Israel because the man who was trying to take the child's life was dead. But Joseph heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, and he was actually afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, possibly a false dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. And again, back to God keeps his promises. This was part of the promise, because Jesus would now be called a Nazarene, very, very important, which was all part of Isaiah. Can you imagine, though? I've had some weird, weird dreams, but I think I'd be going nuts if I dreamt an angel was telling me to do something that goes against every teaching I've ever known. That dream of, hey, it's okay to take this woman as your wife, that was against everything he'd ever been brought up to do. His whole life he'd been said, no, if a woman is not faithful, if a woman is not a virgin, don't marry her. It's nothing. And if she is unfaithful, get rid of her. Stone her. Kill her. Not to be blunt about it. But he went against everything he's ever taught. If an angel said to you, hey, all this stuff you've been taught all your life, don't worry about it, it's fine. You can just do this instead. Would you be willing to do it? It's against your whole nature. But God knew that Joseph would be faithful. God knew that Joseph would believe and be obedient. Joseph was chosen. He also did something else. He took on a stepson. A lot of men today, and women, struggle to do this. It's hard to bring on a child that's not yours. It's hard to raise that. Jesus is also recognized as the son of Joseph when he started preaching in Matthew 13. Not just as a good thing, but I was thinking about it. Whenever I'm introduced to a new place, especially if it's in Gravesend, they go, oh, you look kind of familiar. Oh yeah, my dad's Mike Collins and my mom's Nikki Collins. Oh yeah, I know them. Usually with that Gravesend accent. And it's like, okay, if I said I was them, what would the face came? You know, what does that say about my parents and the respect that they give? What does this say about Joseph and the respect he commanded? If he's recognized as Joseph's son, clearly Jesus was shown love, Jesus was raised right, and he was given the respect of that Joseph's son. Sadly, as Jesus says, a prophet is not without honor, except in his home or town, but that is another preacher again. God knew that, God knew that Joseph would make a good earthly father to Jesus. Joseph was chosen. Like father, like daughter. Now, as I said before, Joseph doesn't initially feel like an important part of a story. He's just a side character. But without him, would there even be a story? He was obedient to the law, but also a loving and faithful husband. And he was faithful to God when God told him something that he probably wouldn't have done on his own. And he still did it. And God knew he would do this. Now, sometimes you may feel like a side character. Maybe because you're not up here doing this terrifying thing. Presenting what basically feels like an essay. Or playing instruments and singing songs. But I'm here to remind you that we all have a job to do. I can play guitar, sort of, unless you get a song with like 20 chords on one line. Thanks, Dad. And I can sing, and maybe after today I might be able to preach a little bit. But I can't do everything. I'm not very good at making small talk. Adults make me uncomfortable. They just do. Children, easy. Adults, terrifying. I don't know what to say, I talk too fast, and I tell too many stories in the middle of a conversation. I think it makes you relate to me, but probably it just bores you. I don't know how to do it. I struggle to build friendships unless there's a shared interest in history or other nerdy things that I talk about, Star Trek or, you know, Disney, that sort of thing. I'm working on it, but I know so many people who can build relationships far better than I, and they are built to do that. God chose them to do that. I also can't bake. I don't have the patience. It bores me. But where would we be without cake? Especially Aaron's delicious ones, which I'll probably be lining for at the end. And as much as my colleagues like to think so, I'm not actually that great at technology. It's just that I grew up with it and I've learnt that when you press that button, it does that thing. I don't know how to fix a building. I hate paperwork and figuring out numbers. They just... But God has chosen you. God has chosen people with the skills to do these things. A church with a singer, with a preacher is great. But I don't particularly want to be standing out in the cold doing this every week. Without a building, without someone making sure the finances are sorted, without someone doing the paperwork, there would be no warm building. Without someone doing the finances, making sure the heating's paid for and collecting in the collection, we would be freezing. A church is not just a singer and a preacher. It's all of it. Everyone has a job to do. We go to 1 Corinthians 12, 12 to 30. The church is a body, and a body needs all parts that do different things. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews, Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, The body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it would, for not for that reason, stop being part of the body. Just because I can't do paperwork doesn't mean I can't be a part of the church. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, just because I'm not at the front doesn't mean I don't belong to the church.
That's right.
If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? If the whole church was just singers, where would the proper message be? Where would we sing? Because I don't fancy standing out in the cold all the time. If the church were just preachers, where would the music be? If the church was just the people at the front, well, who are we preaching to? What's the point? And I cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem weaker are indispensable. Washing up in the kitchen, tedious job. No one really likes it. Don't pretend. But if we didn't wash up, we have dirty cups next week. No one likes drinking tea out of dirty cups. If we didn't boil the kettles every morning when we came in, we wouldn't have tea ready for us when we finished church. Yeah. Tea may not seem important, but it helps to build relationships. Cake may not seem important, but it helps to build relationships. And boy, does it help us when we're finished at the end and starving. It gets to lunchtime, guys. Come on, we need food. God has put the body together, giving greater honour to the parts that lacked it. There should be no division in the body. That's a whole other preach, I won't go there. But all its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. You are the body of Christ. Each one of you is a part of it. Yes, darling. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, healing, helping, guidance, tongues, languages, being able to talk to someone, that's a massive gift that I will probably never have, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers. Do all work miracles? Do all distract everyone by playing with the lights? We each have a job to do. You have a part to play. Without you, the church cannot and will not run. Now, I don't mean just this church. When God says church, he means whole worldwide church. Don't feel like you have to stay here. I mean God's church. Yeah, obviously we want everyone to stay here, but you don't. God's holy church. The whole church. In each individual place. You don't have to be in this particular one, but you are part of God's holy body. Don't be afraid. And also, your purpose never runs out, but it may change and adapt. God is always molding us to be more like him. So don't be afraid if it feels like your purpose is changing. It's a good thing. Well, I should say it's a God thing. You have a purpose, and God is already using you. And he may use you for something different next week, or in a few months' time, or next year. God doesn't just stick with one part. I was thinking about this the other night. Who has seen the Chronicles of Narnia or read the books? Yeah, it's a Christian metaphor. That's the word I'm looking for. And C.S. Lewis makes Aslan say something very important. I never do the same things twice. Just because it worked last time doesn't mean it's going to work the second time. Or doesn't mean it's going to happen the same way. Just Remember that. So, Joseph was chosen specifically because of who he was as a person, what he brought for Mary, for Jesus. Loving husband, loving father, obedience to the law, giving him the upbringing within the Jewish culture, obedient to God, giving him the name and taking Mary as his wife. He was just as chosen as Mary. We might skip over his name when we're reading Matthew and just go, hang on, let's get to the good bit when Jesus is actually born. But he was so important, and so are you. I leave you with a blessing, Psalm 139. It's something that David wrote. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. And you are familiar with all my ways. That's all of your ways, not just mine. Before a word is on your tongue, Lord, you know it completely. You have hemmed me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If only you, Lord, would slay the wicked. Away from me, you who are bloodthirsty. They speak of you with evil intent, and your adversaries misuse your name. Search me, Lord, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Lead me